The motorsports world is where legends are made, the unthinkable happens, and barriers are broken. One man harnesses the power of an industry every week. This is the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, with Jim Beaver.
Welcome to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We got a big show coming at you this week, kind of more podcast format. Going to do a long-form interview with my good friends, the Martelli brothers. We've got Killian over there at Mad Media, Josh, Matt Martelli. They are going to be on the show this week talking all things Mid 400. Massive news coming out of that event here this week in regards to 2021, and we're going to have all the details and dissect it today on the show. Also got my good friend Chris Leone. We are going to be back with one of our last power rankings of the year. I think we're going to do one more right around the Baja 1000, but we are going to have power rankings on the show this week. So long-form interviews, two very long ones with just a small commercial break in between. That is the schedule today. That is what's happening right here on the show. Want to ask you guys, if you haven't already, head over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button. Check us out on Podcast One as well. We'll make note, our website is down. We are building an all-new website. And it's taking a little bit of time. Our website is down. So if you're listening to the show, obviously you're getting the show somewhere right now, but, you know, check us out on social media at JimBeaver15 on all the major platforms. And you'll find out all the latest on what's happening, what we're up to and what we're doing. That new website, trust me, you guys are going to love it when it drops. It's just taking a bit of time. We got some really cool stuff coming, though, in regards to that. So stay tuned. Watch this space is going to be epic. All that being said, yes, thank you guys once again for continuing to support the show, whether you're SiriusXM, Channel 211, Dan Patrick Radio, Sports Byline, Podcast One, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get the show. Thank you guys. Thank you. It's going to be one heck of a good one. Man, I'm going out in the desert this weekend. Got a new RV. We are going camping. We are going to shred some razors. So I can't wait to talk about that next week. But I got to tell you, it's going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun this weekend. So you'll definitely want to be stay tuned to my social media to see all the fun we're having out in the desert right here around Parker, Arizona. And once again, too, don't forget, check out our friends. You're looking for a little relaxation this weekend? Yeah, check out our good friends at Fistful of Bourbon and get some of the best damn bourbon on the planet. All right, so that being said, we are going to take a short commercial break. We come back, we're gonna have the Martelli brothers right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a fistful of bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
All right, so we're here with this, I don't know what the hell we're going to call this. It's a Mad Media slash Mint 400 slash Off-Road Racer slash UTV Underground slash Down and Dirty Show mashup. Along with my brother from another, Josh Martelli. Got Matt in the background. Got a lot to talk about, man. Mint 400 today. What pre-entries are opening? You guys are pulling the trigger, doing something different. I actually like this. Everybody always bitches that they get like the bad draw and things like this, and this is kind of put what your money where your mouth is, right? Step up and be the first on. I feel like it's almost like Black Friday or something when those deals are online and you got to hurry and get them before they sell out. I feel like everybody wants to be first at the Mint 400, you know, in qualifying, right?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, thanks for having us on, Jim. We wanted to spend some time wrapping out with you and touch base with all our brothers and sisters out there in the off-road community. And today is a big day. Today is the first time in the history of the Mint 400 that we're opening race registration up this early, digitally, and allowing folks to secure a start position or a qualifying start position in the order in which they register. We want to get a good idea, a good picture of who's racing with us next year. Two, we want folks to have a reason to make that commitment, right? Because a lot of these guys, you know, they're garage racers, and it takes a little time to pull those cars out of the garage, dust them off, and see what needs to be worked on. And they really need to know, you know, 4, 5, 6 months out if that's going to happen. You can't just show up to the Mint on race weekend, obviously, and run it. So, and then it's having a conversation with people too about what the Mint could look like if we're still under COVID restrictions, right? So we want to address all that stuff and then talk about some of the radical changes that we've come up with for next
year.
Well,
and I know looking at the entries, I know one of the big things I you know, pinged you guys right away, and I think this kind of started this conversation, and we'll kind of let Killian take it. But one thing that I appreciate about you guys is you're opening it up early, and a lot of people go, I don't have that kind of money to outlay over the holidays and all this. You guys did it really cool where you put it on a payment plan. So people get entered in the race, but they don't actually have to pay the full amount up front, which I think is really rad with the holidays rolling up, things like that. You know, tell a lot of us racers, man, it's, you know, sometimes it's a month-to-month deal waiting on sponsor checks or a lot of people that are self-funded, you know, they're waiting on their payday check. Like, I appreciate you guys doing that and not making, the racers outlay all that money up front. So, you know, it helps you guys get an idea of what the event looks like entry-wise, but it also allows the racers to get there. They can still get a good, start spot, you know, for qualifying, things like that, but they don't have to outlay the full amount right up front. So I appreciate you guys doing that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's really important to us that people understand that, you know, we think about this 24/7, like what makes a good race, how expensive it is, what are the things that we can do to make the experience better. I mean, ultimately, we're racers, and we don't want to produce races that we wouldn't race, right? And, you know, we're not, ignoring the fact that everything costs money, and especially in this economy, it's tough. You know, people are going to have to make sacrifices. So we're trying to be as organized and fair as possible, and give all the racers in every class a fantastic, racing experience, and two, grow the sport.
our goal is to get everybody off the couch racing, whether they have a race car or whether they're new, you know, in the bike or UTV class. I think we've shown over the years that, you know, we've gone to bat for some of the lower class, vehicles, because to us, that's part of the DNA of off-road racing is, you know, back to, hey, a class 11 car or whatever vehicle that you can build in your garage and come race with us.
Well, I know I got so many questions here, and I know you guys got a lot to get out, but I guess, you know, right now, let's kind of, I guess, lay out the plans, how this entry thing works, because I think a lot of people are wondering how this works. I know you guys have, you know, you can pay in full, you can do a payment plan. Obviously, things open up today, I believe, 10 a.m. Pacific time. So kind of give us the lowdown on exactly how this works today and what you get when you enter, because I realize I believe all classes are going to be qualifying this year. Is it select classes? And, you know, and this gets you basically first in line for qualifying as you pay, as you register, then it works down. So there's no random draw this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's really simple. You know, ultimately the cool thing about the software is that it puts complete control into the racer's hands. So they're managing every aspect of their registration. So, you know, just like you would have an Amazon account or a Facebook account, you'll have an off-road racer profile, and that profile holds all of your information that we repeatedly ask over and over and over again. So once that's made, you know, that information is tied directly to your entry. So at 10 a.m., you know, you'll register, and all you'll need to put in is your class, your number, and then your vehicle manufacturer, and that's it, you know, and it really allows you guys as racers to be in complete control of your entry and all that.
Yeah, so to kind of drill that down even a little bit further, Jim, yeah, what everyone should be doing now is going to offroadracer.com and spending about 5 minutes to create your profile. It's the same basic information that you would be giving to any race organization that you're racing with. Like Killian said, the important thing is we don't need it from you every year, twice a year, three times a year anymore. Once you create this profile, that's it. You've got your profile, and anytime you want to race an event with us, you simply just log on and select the race that you want to compete in. So, you know, for all you guys that race the UTV World Championship, you're done. All you got to do today at 10 o'clock is literally log on, select the Mint 400, and enter in just two or three key pieces of information.
And this way, everybody can plan. I mean, one of the challenges being a promoter is this old idea of like, we don't know who's going to race up until the day of the race. It's a ridiculous way to run a business. And we can't predict logistics. Like every year I get some guy yelling at me because he didn't get his racer t-shirt. And I'm like, dude, it's impossible. You registered today. How would I know what size shirt you wear? You know what I mean? Like we want to give you a shirt. We started that. And, you know, our goal is to make sure that all the racers, you know, have this fantastic experience. I mean, that's what off-road racing is about.
The goal with this down the road is actually to make these profiles public. What we're trying to do is create a new professional race directory. Already, if you go on offroadracer.com right now, you'll see some of the top businesses, manufacturing groups, you know, some of the best are already displayed on that site. Once the racer profiles become public, it's going to become a real cool way for guys to look for sponsors to interact with potential racers. We're making that hub a community for the entire industry. Right now, we're just doing it through the racing, and it's an important function of how we're going to do timing and scoring. But there's a bigger vision, of course.
What's cool about it, too, is it gives everybody an online presence. You know, a lot of guys don't have websites or anything like that. So, you know, your public-facing off-road racer profile will kind of be that. And it'll be a place to track your major wins and your, you know, accomplishments and a bio and a photo of your vehicle. So that, you know, you have a professional presence online, you can show your sponsors, and, you know, you can have those abilities.
Which is huge. Like, I can't tell you, Jim, how many times, we'll be working on the Mint 400 TV show. And, you know, it's like, God, you know, how many championships has Jason Voss won, or how many, How many times has Cameron Steele come close to winning the Mint? You know, it's like stuff like that. And so we go digging on the internet for it. And, you know, these guys are busy. They don't have time to worry about, you know, very few racers have time to have a dedicated website. So then you end up on Facebook and the Facebook stuff's outdated. So now you're calling and you're emailing. Like, we just need a place where, you know, everybody knows, hey, that's the most current stuff. I can always go to Off-Road Racer and find out who that guy's current sponsors are. And then, you know, or is that girl racing the Mint 400? I don't know. Let me check, you know.
And, you know, additionally, you know, racers can retroactively go back and put that information in. But since this registration system is directly tied to our timing and scoring, as soon as our results are made final, that'll automatically be tied to each racer's profile. So yeah, we'll have a nice, you know, historical organization.
You touched on something that's huge. Every year we run into this situation where you guys register and then you have a change, right? Like the guy who is going to co-drive for you or the girl who is going to drive that truck for your team has a challenge, an issue that comes up, and you have to make a change. Historically, every single time that's happened, you've had to pick up the phone and call somebody or send an email, and then we have to call you or they have to call you. And you can imagine that for a race that draws, you know, 515 to 550 entrants times the number of people who could be in that vehicle, and some of the bike classes are four, right? That pool of potential people you have to talk to is like 2,000 people, right? So the great thing about this system is it is a reservation system. It's very much like calling and making a reservation for a hotel room, right? You guys have the power to go in there and do little tweaks and change things. And it doesn't mean that you have to call us to do every little thing. Now, we're happy to help you. If you have a problem, sure, give us a call.
Leads to another thing. You know, I want to talk about the Mint. You talk about the entries right there, and you mentioned 500. And I think a lot of people don't put it into perspective, because I was one of those guys 5 years ago that I missed on the day one when you had to enter the Mint, and I got on a wait list, you know, and that was when things were capped at like a hard 330 count. Like, I don't think people realize what you guys have done. One, you've opened things up where now we can have 500 plus entries in the event. But two, I think people lose sight of, you've almost doubled the amount of entries in the Mint 400. You've also almost doubled the amount of work you guys have to do, and the people and the staff to accommodate those extra entries, you know? And I think a lot of people lose sight of that. They look at the small side of things, but they lose sight of the bigger picture, and everything's escalated on your end to make all that other happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to take a wild guess here. I think 2012, we were capped at between 200 and 225 entries, or 2013, our first year with Best in the Desert and DAC, you know, and I can tell you, I've been the guy in the room at those BLM meetings asking for more entries. But yeah, we were at 225 racers max on one day of racing that could only occur within 12 hours. Next year, we're going to be racing for 2 days. You know, we have a cap, but it's not 225. And yeah, we've basically more than doubled the amount of racers that we can handle in one weekend. And that's been through a lot of hard work with that office, you know?
Yeah, and just, you know, logistics. It's you know, looking at every little piece of this and you know, trying to improve it so that we can have more racers and have more racers out there safely, as well as make sure that they have the same awesome race experience. You know, the last thing we want to do is overload a racetrack where, you know, it's not fun anymore. And, you know, we're still far from that, which I'm happy to say that, you know, we still have a cap, but, you know, we have a little bit of wiggle room to continue to grow. You know, but yes, I mean, it's continuous. I mean, we're literally going to Las Vegas tomorrow to do work on the Mint for 2021.
Can you guys chime in a little bit on the schedule? Because I know last year, and obviously I'm sure things are still kind of in motion, But I know last year, you know, there was kind of a, I don't want to say last minute change, but kind of a week of change where the UTVs moved from Saturday to Friday. It kind of threw a lot of people in a tailspin, but it was the right call. Once everything got sorted, I got to tell you, there's not one UTV team that doesn't not want to race on Friday now. You know, we've got the track to ourselves. You're not dealing with trophy trucks breathing down your neck and things like that. But can you guys talk a little bit about the schedule? I know you mentioned qualifying will be on Thursday, and any other major changes to the schedule and the way things are running this year?
Yeah, not currently. So the schedule that we came up with last year, granted, we had some changes, and here's one overarching thing that I think people can really sink their teeth into and wrap their heads around. We're running two separate courses for 2 days in the same area, one dedicated single track course for bikes and one dedicated track for cars and trucks. Now that radically improves the whole scenario. Last year, what we were dealing with is this overlapping of 2- and 4-wheel classes where the bike guys got shorted. Some of them got shorted a third lap because we did the math on it and we realized, wait a minute, there's just going to be some of those guys straggling coming in, and we've got cars and trucks that we're sending off the line. And we couldn't risk that. It wasn't going to be safe for anybody involved. So lesson learned, come off that experience, come back, and this guy over here, Killian, and myself, we go charging out into the desert. We're like, you know, there's other course out here that we can use. What if we use this? What if we use that? And what we've pieced together are two independent courses that can be run at the same time. And what they will share is the start finish line and pit B, a remote pit B, right? They'll be traveling in the opposite directions, but they'll never get close enough to be any kind of safety hazard. When they come into pit B, everybody will be going a nice 25 miles an hour.
In the same direction.
In the same direction. So what that does is that takes all the pressure off, you know, creating Grand Prix finishes. And is this class going to finish in time, right? Now, we still think that UTVs racing on Friday is a good thing. And we have plenty of space and plenty of room to run you guys. I think we'll probably end up moving the class 10s over to Friday as well.
Yeah.
So we have a little bit of breathing room for the bigger trucks on Saturday. But
yeah, again, I mean, just to point out, I mean, this is kind of a constant thing that we work on, trying to make the best, you know, racing experience for the racers. We hate Grand Prix finishes. The last thing that we want to do is wave a racer off course when they've, you know, not just spent money, but they're committed to at least getting to the finish line. I've had that happen to me, and it sucks. It's worse than breaking, right? You're like, but wait, I'm running. I want to keep going.
You're a finisher, but you're not a finisher. It's like this weird, yeah.
It just, that type of stuff drives us crazy. So we think about this stuff all the time and try and come up with solutions. And it, truthfully, it's not just us. We have a whole host of advisors that are, you know, amateur level and pro level racers who give us feedback and you know, go, hey guys, you should think about this for this class. You should think about this for this class. And so we're open to that. I think that's one of the differences between us and a lot of other promoters is, you know, our ego isn't so big that we think we know everything. You know, we like to get feedback from racers and are happy to make adjustments to make things better.
Yeah, I mean, we never want to close the finish line early, right? We look every year, Jim, we look at the data, and there's always one team that you can tell, you know, just had a hell of a race, but like never gave up. Like I think 2 years ago, Sam Berry was out there for over 13 hours. I think last year, Robert Wenton and one of his Warfighter Made guys, they were out there for 13 plus hours. And like, you know, when those guys hit the finish line, we want to hug them and hand them a cold beer and then put some hardware around their neck, a nice finisher's medal for battling that course and never quitting. So what racers can come away with is that with these two independent courses, everyone's going to get the miles that they want. Like we've been going around talking to all the different classes and saying, hey guys, you know, if you wanted a third lap, if you wanted a fourth lap, now's the time to talk about it, right?
And no one has to get up at 4 a.m. to do it.
Right. We're going to call that one the Steve Oligus rule, yeah. Right?
Yeah. We're as far as off-road racing is concerned, next year is going to be kind of banker's hours, right? So we've got probably somewhere between an 8 to 9 a.m. start, and we've determined that about 13, maybe 14 hours for a finish. So we should be racing from 8, 9 o'clock in the morning till 9, 10 o'clock at night. Now, don't quote us on that. That could change. We may add some extra time in there. But keep in mind, we have over 150 dedicated off-road racing volunteers that are out there working those checkpoints and working that course. And man, we put them through the ringer last year. You know, even with the changes that we made, you know, there were some folks that were out there for 2 days straight. So we're trying to make it more safe and more fun for everybody involved, you know?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, all of that is possible because we were able to find a way to separate those two courses. And really in doing so, that allowed us for about 40% new race course for the cars and trucks and about 50% new race course for the motorcycles. So, you know, we're particularly excited about the courses next year and think that it's going to be a little bit different for everybody.
We should say one thing really quickly too. For the bike guys that are listening, we love bikes. We absolutely love bikes. And on our board here in our office coming off of 2020, that was one of the big things that we took to heart, was the fact that some of these guys lost a lap and some of them were pissed off, and rightfully so. So the way that we're approaching the motorcycle racing going forward is sort of to, you know, to double down on the bike racers and make those guys feel welcome, because they are. And, you know, we did mention online a couple of days ago that we're not partnering with National Hare and Hound next year. We're going to run the bike race independently. That's not a diss on those guys whatsoever. They did a great job. Meg, Argabright, all the Jacob, everybody over at that organization, great people to work with. We just feel like we need to, that's another thing we need to take on and really make it our own. So, you know, we've got some of the best people in the desert motorcycle racing community working with us already to make sure that everything from, you know, the way those races are set up, to the way the course is marked, to the way those guys are celebrated within the Mint 400 sphere, is run professionally top to bottom.
Yeah, I mean, back to one of the things that I just mentioned is, like, the decisions that we make are not made in a vacuum. You know, I don't think, you know, none of us here think we're some geniuses. So we ask people questions. So when I have a question about bikes, you know who I call? I call Ricky Johnson. You know, I call Johnny Campbell, you know, and I go down the list to make sure, like, we're making, you know, informed decisions. So fortunately, the mind share of off-road racing that we have access to is unparalleled, and we use it frequently. You know, I mean, I've become, you know, really good friends with Sal Fish, who's been a great, you know, advisor for us in, you know, in what to do in certain situations. And as you can see, you know, our race director, Bill Savage, you know, wrote the book on off-road racing safety. So we're, you know, trying to gather up and take in, you know, all the mind share that we have in off-road racing and problem solve, so that, you know, going forward, we can make better racing, we can make bigger racing, we can go race in new places. This is just the beginning of that.
You know, that being said, I know one of the big gorillas in the room is, you know, this whole COVID thing lingering over us. You guys were one of the few organizations that put on two world-class events in 2020, and you had fans in attendance. I know with the Mint, you threaded the needle. It happened right before things really kind of hit the fan. UTV Worlds, you know, kind of things were coming back to normal, and I know we've got this other wave they're talking about, whatever, but you guys somehow were able to pull off two events when nobody else was able to do that. That being said, I mean, we're looking at 2021. I know you guys have said you have contingency plans in place. I mean, are we talking about Fremont Street? Are we talking about having fans in some capacity in attendance? I mean, what are we looking at, guys?
As of right now, it's business as usual. We are operating, you know, under the guise that we will be, you know, at full regular capacity. You know, if it changes, you know, we have contingency plans for that. But You know, we're confident. We do know that there are events that are happening prior to us in Las Vegas. So, you know, we feel fairly confident that we'll be running at full capacity in March.
And regardless, you guys are going to have your banger live stream that you always do, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, and it's really cool because, you know, earlier this year, we helped pioneer a technology to live stream directly from within the vehicles. And then consequently, we've taken that technology and done more function tests at three different Besa Desert races. So coming into our live stream this year, I expect there to be a minimum of six, maybe 12 vehicles that we'll have placed those boxes in. And those are things that teams and sponsors can, you know, basically rent from us and place in their different vehicles. And they'll fit, they're a little big for a bike, but they'll fit in, you know, every, you know, off-road vehicle and allow us to stream directly from within that vehicle.
Yeah, Jim, it was incredible to reach 800,000, you know, viewers this year with the Mint live stream. And that really shows you that this love of off-road racing and desert off-road racing is not only national, but international. So when we went back and took a look at those numbers, and, you know, that's significant. That's, you know, you start getting close to a million viewers on a live stream, and now you're really beginning to touch, you know, a pretty massive audience, right? And it's starting to trickle into what people call the general or mass audience viewership. And that's killer. That's exactly what we need. That's what draws non-endemic sponsors into our sport, which then gives us the budget to do 2-3 days of racing and helps pay for all this crazy stuff that we dream up. So we're thrilled. And yeah, in the unlikely event that spectating is limited, folks will get, you know, 2.5-3 days worth of live streaming. You can bank on that. We're excited to do a full day of qualifying on Thursday next year and make that a really fantastic and exciting show.
Yeah. Well, it's got me excited, man. For we sign off on this, anything else you guys got in regards to Mint 400? Obviously, today's a big day. Entries open. You know, those are, I think, officially open as of now, should be. Anyways, we're a little after 10 a.m. when we're recording this. But any other big news, you know, you got planned in the next couple of months through the holidays and stuff in regards to the Mint or anything else you want to get out there?
You know, really just watch for more news. I mean, what we're trying to do is to, you know, get registration open, and then we'll be incrementally announcing different new things tied to the Mint.
Yeah, it's class sponsorships are going to start creeping up. We're working on purse announcements. We've got 11 different classes, Jim, that we reduced entry fees for this year. So, or for 2021.
The Military Challenge is back. You know, lots of things, but we're trying to give everybody a little bit of information at a time so they can digest everything and not be overwhelmed.
Yeah, let's get through today, please. No, on my side, yeah, you know, typical questions coming my way are for ticketing and parking passes, VIP, all those things will be announced here in the coming weeks pretty quickly.
I think one of my most exciting things about the Mint is every year is watching the names that pop up on the entry list. I mean, over the last decade, you guys have had some banger names that have come out and raced the Mint. I think that's one of my, I know UTV Worlds, we had a little bit of that with Cowboy Cerrone popping up, but I think the Mint takes that and even steps it up a few notches. And that's what's got me excited. Like, you know, from now until the Mint, just to see the names that are going to pop up on that entry list.
The guy that we're pestering right now that popped up last year that we didn't quite convert him is Kyle Long. Love that guy. That we're best buds now on Instagram. And yeah, we want to get that guy out to race. I think the more UFC fighters we can get, the better. Yeah. We're at that point right now where we could almost host our own fight in the middle of the race, you know. But you know, that's Vegas. Vegas is the entertainment capital of the world. It's Sin City. It's the Rat Pack. It's where all that stuff started. And God bless KJ Howe and the original founders of the Mint for recognizing the connective tissue between a guy like Steve McQueen and the deserts in Vegas, right? So it's it's part of our heritage. It's Hunter S. Thompson. It's Parnelli Jones. It's, you know, if we ignored that, we'd be ignoring our own history.
Well, and to be clear, it's funny because a couple of racers had said to me, well, you know, it'd be cool if you'd focus more on little guys than these celebrities. And I'm like, well, maybe you haven't been paying attention because we've always focused on the little guys, but it's our job as race promoters to leverage any relationship that we can to expose the sport and culture of off-road racing. And, you know, I'll take help from anybody, any celebrity that's going to help us put eyes on how awesome this sport is. You know, I mean, we know that we have the best motorsport in the world. It's just a matter of exposing it to the right people or to more people. And ultimately, that's our job.
Yeah, I mean, don't worry. For every, you know, for every announcement that we make about a celebrity coming and racing with us, there's hours spent on the phone talking to the 516 and 1216 guys, or the class 11 group, you know, all of our buddies in 1450 that we got out last year. Like, how can we get more 1450 trucks out, right? So, you know, it's not something that's broadcast over the internet, but on a daily basis, we're having these very blue collar roots off-road, core off-road conversations with folks, in addition to, you know, trying to get the most wild and outrageous stuff lined up for the event. That's how we get Budweiser. That's how we get, you know, a major OEM back into this sport, is we have to make the power of our industry undeniable, right? So we've always wanted the Mint to be that. We still think the Mint can be that, and we're fired up about evolving it for 2021.
But hey, let's be clear. Cowboy's coming back. He is an off-roader now, hook, line, and sinker. He just got back from pre-running down at the 1000 with Mark Burnett, and he called me, and he was just like exploding with excitement. He's like, what can I do besides racing the Mint? So that's the type of enthusiasm that we want from people that have his reach and his influence. So undoubtedly, you know, since he's come and raced with us at UTV Worlds, I've already gotten phone calls from other UFC fighters asking how they can come and race. So that's a positive thing.
Well, and I know, you know, Cowboy, it's funny because they, the Chapmans who I help out, they were camping at the UTV Worlds, and Cowboy was like one spot over, and like night before the race or something like that, Cowboy walks into the pit and they all knew who he was, right? Everybody knows who he was. And he came in and, you know, and he was a little bit guarded. They said about 30 seconds into the conversation, guard came down and he just became like Donald Cerrone, the off-road racer. And they hung out with him for a couple of hours, just talking around the campfire and stuff like that. And they said, he is so completely like into off-road at this point. Like, I mean, like you said, hook, line, sinker, like, I think if he could find a way to make money like he does at UFC, he'd completely end the fight career. He'd be all in with off-road.
I guarantee you he spent the most time pre-running out of any racer at UTV World Championship. You know, I was there since, you know, day one, obviously. And, you know, every single day I saw him putting in like 10 to 12 hours of work. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the power of our sport though, dude. You know, it's approachable, and that's huge. Like, you know, you can't get anywhere near a NASCAR vehicle. You can't get anywhere near a Formula One racer. Most of us will never see, you know, a world rally car pit or team up close, you know, but you can walk down on the grid of the Mint 400 and shake Andy McMillan's hand and get his autograph 30 seconds before he leaves the start line. You know, you can come to our tech and contingency and stand there and get autographs from 500 different racers over 2 days. You know, we have to keep that tradition alive in the sport, because it's really one of the pillars. It's one of the things that makes it special, you know?
And you know, what's funny is you say that, and I've been very fortunate in my career to have been, you know, standing on the grid at the Indy 500 and places like that, you know, and I'm, you know, the drivers there know who I am and what I do. And I can go to the Indy 500 and it's not me looking up to them. It's us talking as equals. And I'm there on the grid, and here's guys that I think are the gladiators of, you know, they're getting ready to go 230 miles an hour around Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And these guys, all they wanted to do is talk about UTVs. Jimmy, what long travel suspension should I get for my Razor? You know, and I'm like, dude, you're getting ready to race the Indy 500. And they're like, no, let's sidebar over here. You know, and it's like, it's so funny because off-road has that draw to these guys who I look at and put up on this pedestal and they so don't see it. It's like off-road, you race off-road, dude, you guys are like awesome, you know?
Yeah. Well, we are, it's, you know, we're the last cowboys, right?
I mean, you know, I mean, it's undeniable. It's, you know, I mean, for God's sakes, I'm buddies now with Jensen Button, you know, did I ever think that was going to happen in a million years? No. And truthfully, I would never have that opportunity unless I was an off-road race promoter. And so I think there's, you know, a truth to the value that off-road racing has. And again, that's what we see our job as, you know, whether it's as race promoters or as a clothing brand as Dirt Co. or as media as Off-Road Racer and UTV Underground. It's like everything that we do is to promote and grow off-road racing and, you know, thereby raising the tide for everybody, all promoters, all races, all racers. You know, we're not here just to do it for us. We're here to do it for the culture.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's a pretty good place to sign off on this. But obviously, once again, you know, I guess it's open for the Mint 400. Get your entry in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Get your stuff together. We're going racing, everybody.
Thanks for the time, Jimmy. Appreciate you as always, brother.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Take care, Jeff.
Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP Advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver and Chris Leone here with your weekly dose of power rankings. And I know, Chris, things are getting a little bit slim. We're probably going to have to pump the brakes on power rankings here, probably after the Baja 1000, I'm thinking, because there's not going to be a whole hell of a lot to talk about. Maybe we'll switch gears into like a weekly news segment or something like that to carry us through the off season. But that being said, Chris, we did have some big races this past week. And, yeah, I mean, as we start crowning some champions and things like that, you know, kind of gives us a big picture of what to expect the start of next year. I know, you know, some of the big series like Supercross, they're going to be running a little bit different schedule in January, and Snowcross that we normally have in the wintertime, same thing. But we still have racing in 2020, and we just capped off some big ones with the NASCAR championship.
Yeah, Jim, I mean, always an interesting weekend whenever you've got the finale, and especially whenever you've got those championship four races within a race for the three national NASCAR series. So certainly an interesting week in Phoenix. I think the jury is still a little bit out on whether or not moving the finale from Homestead to Phoenix was the right call. I mean, you don't want to make snap judgments based on year one, even though, let's be real, that's what we all do, right? But, you know, certainly an interesting way to wrap up the NASCAR season, and not a lot of other racing going on, but, you know, a few things here and there to be able to talk about. So definitely an exciting one, you know, certainly in the world of stock car racing. But yeah, we have some things to look ahead to still with the Baja, and, you know, certainly silly season announcements coming through.
Yeah, lots of silly season announcements coming through, and we're definitely in the coming weeks going to be able to dive into those. But that being said, Chris, we do have a top five. Obviously, I'm going to get creative with my top five. I'm assuming you're probably going to get creative with your top five as well. But leading out, number five, who you got this week?
Yeah, a little bit creative, Jim. And this one dropped just a little bit before we recorded, so I figure that that's the threshold for counting. And this is silly season, so I just kind of teed up for that. Daniel Hemric landing a full-time ride with Joe Gibbs Racing in the Xfinity Series, stepping into the flagship number 18 car, replacing Riley Herbst in that car. It's going to be really interesting to see what Daniel Hemric does there with some of the best equipment in the garage. Not that he didn't have some of the best equipment in the garage with Junior Motorsports, but he did only have a part-time season to work with this year. And, you know, he's one of those guys who there's always been all this promise with Daniel Hemric and just has not won a race yet. And I think being bounced around has been part of it, but landing in the seat that he landed in, there's no better landing spot for you in the Xfinity Series, I would say, than ending up at Joe Gibbs Racing. So, you know, it's put up or shut up year for Daniel Hemric in 2021, but just landing that seat is such a huge step that I've got to put him at number five.
Yeah, that is definitely some big, big news. And I'm going to jump into silly season with a few of my picks. You know, I knew, and I do have to give this disclaimer, I was going to throw Jimmy Johnson on my list this week, but you and I kind of talked about Jimmy Johnson last week, and, you know, I guess we could probably make an entire month for Jimmy Johnson if we wanted to. You know, I do have to give a big shout out to him. It's kind of an honorable mention, kind of, I guess, closing out, you know, the chapter of NASCAR in his illustrious career as one of the greatest of all times. And now we're going to get to see what he can do in the IndyCar Series next year on some road courses, which has me very excited. But I didn't have Jimmy on my list, kind of in an honorable mention slot. What I did have on my list at number five instead was, Chris, I put motorsports as a whole is number five on my list. And I thought about doing NASCAR. I thought about a bunch of individual things. And I go, you know what? I got to do in motorsports as a whole. This was a weird year, 2020. And, you know, by and large, I mean, I wouldn't have blamed any series if they didn't run at all. But for some odd reason, NASCAR was the first. Supercross was the second. IndyCar was right in there. NHRA has scrapped together a calendar. You know, off-road shifted. Formula One ended up being able to put everything together. Somehow, some way, we had racing in 2020, and we damn near had full calendar years with everything. Chris, I don't know, just because it was such an insane year, and I am impressed that these series actually were able to run races and run an entire championship. I had motorsports as a whole at number five on my list.
Right? I mean, credit to everybody who had to scramble to just get real events happening again. I mean, we all did the dance with sim racing in the spring, and, you know, in the end, I think of all of the sports out there, you know, whether you're talking big four stick and ball sports, just about anything else. I mean, as far as the pandemic goes, it'd be crass to say that motorsports, quote unquote, won the pandemic, because let's be real, there were no winners, losing as many events as we've lost, losing just all the things that we've lost over the past year. There are no real winners, but in terms of making some real good lemonade out of lemons, motorsport did the best job. Motorsport kept everybody competing in a reasonable facsimile of what they were already doing for the longest with, you know, with the sim racing stuff that went on around the world. Motorsport, I think, got back to normal the quickest with events, you know, NASCAR at Darlington, IndyCar, as you mentioned, just about everybody got something close to a full schedule in. Couple exceptions, but more often than not. And, you know, yeah, we're in November and we're crowning champions, and we're crowning champions that, I think most of us would say were pretty legitimate champions.
Yeah. And I think, too, along those lines, you know, as the pandemic hit, a lot of people were wondering, oh, if seasons get put together, is there going to be an asterisk attached to whoever wins the championship? And I think from a motorsport standpoint, absolutely not. Champions are champions this year. You know, they proved it week in, week out, and proved how well they could adapt. And, you know, going into the stick and ball stuff, I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from the Los Angeles Dodgers. They had a hell of a team this year, you know. So, you know, I look at things like that and go, no, I don't think there's an asterisk attached at all to any of it. You know, I think if you won a championship this year, it actually maybe proves more about how good your team is and the way you can adapt than anything else. So, yeah, I got a lot of respect for anybody that scrapped anything together at this point this year. And, you know, you go back to talking about sim racing, and I agree with being the winners of the pandemic, if there is a such thing, because, you know, you can't sim NFL. You can, but you can't, you know. But watching, say, Larry Fitzgerald with his Xbox controller play Madden isn't the same as watching, say, Alex Rossi behind the wheel in a sim rig. You know, Rossi's actually simulating what he would be doing on the track in some way, shape, or form. Fitzgerald doing button presses on an Xbox, doesn't quite cut it, you know. So I don't know. I agree with you in that regard. You know, in as far as you know, motorsports in general, probably I don't want to say benefiting the most, but I guess doing the best at surviving or thriving during the pandemic. Yeah, I would give that to motorsport. But anyways, let's move on to number four, Chris. Who do you got at four on your list?
So I'm going to name check a series that I don't like name. Again, this is how this is kind of what we have to work with for this week, right? And I'm going to MotoGP, and I am going to finally scoring his first MotoGP win. I did the math. I believe it was 29th career start. So former Moto3 champion made his way up the rank. I admit, I've never been the world's biggest two-wheel guy. You know, I've only recently sort of started getting into Supercross and Pro Motocross over the past few years. And never really, because I'm big anyway, even with cars. So, not, you know, much with bikes either, but you know, it's always impressive they're able to be in a series like that. And, you know, we're talking about doesn't really much to talk about. So in going through things and going through results, it's easier to maybe make the list. You're not also talking about, you know, the NHRA finals at Pomona that, you know, would have been running probably last weekend had they not been taken off the for this year, or the other that, you know, might have been running last weekend had their schedules not been modified. But you know, certainly more talent than I'll ever have on two wheels. So Joan Mir, my number four.
Well, I'm going to stick with two wheels for ours, but I'm going to go to Supercross, and obviously Supercross season and motocross season has wrapped up, but I'm going to go foreshadowing to 2021 and big news coming out. Troy Lee Designs Red Bull Gas Factory Racing. It had been announced prior. They just announced their athlete lineup, and I got to give my number four spot to Justin Bam Bam Barsha, former guest here on the show, but Gas iconic in Europe and in trials riding. They are coming to the United States with a full factory Supercross team. You know, and anytime you got Red Bull on board, you know it's going to be huge. But Justin Barsha, here's a guy who's bounced around teams. I mean, he was one of those prodigy-type talents coming out of 250s. You know, for some odd reason, he showed flashes of brilliance on a 450, but he just hasn't been able to put it all together quite yet. But for him to get the nod to be the lead of this brand-new Red Bull Gas Racing team, I mean, that is absolutely huge for him. This might be the slingshot his career needs. I mean, we all know the talent's there. He just hadn't been able to put it together. And I'm in hopes that 2021 is the biggest year for Justin Barsha yet. But because of that, this is a massive announcement for him. And not only that, but Supercross the whole, bringing another manufacturer into the fold. I got to give it to Bam Bam Barsha, number four on my list this week.
Oh, no doubt. That's going to be real interesting to see with the factory gas team. Cool to have new manufacturers, whether it's branding or whether it's a full-on new organization, it comes. So it's going to be really, I know that as well, but just Barsha, you know, certainly has to be looking to make the most of that opportunity in an off season where things have really changed quite a bit, you know, in the Supercross landscape. I mean, you guys, same that always going to stay the same, but some big changes on the 250 side, and you know, some sizable changes in the 450 side as well with some guys moving up. So we will see how that goes.
Hang tight. All right, Chris. Well, that was my number four. Let's move on to number three. We got our top three, and this is where things are going to get interesting. Who do you have at number three on your list?
Well, Jim, I'm probably going to have the most predictable top three that you could possibly imagine, so I'll just tee it up like that. But I will say I am going to start by going and starting to camp out there. Sheldon Creed, NASCAR Truck Series champion, had already been a Stadium Super Trucks champion, and he's made the move into stock car racing, did very well at the ARCA level, and season, let's say the least, with kind of the late caution really changing how that champion started. And you know, I'm not going to debate whether or not Sheldon Creed was worthy, because he absolutely was worthy of winning that championship regardless of how that race finished. I know that he probably would have. Brett Moffitt seemed to have it in the late race caution for the lap truck crashing, but you know, that's the way it works. Those are the bounces you get sometimes. Now, heaven knows that in any game seven moment or a fourth quarter of the season, there can be things. And it's how, you know, it's how competitors adapt to that and overcome. In so many different things, playing field's the same for everybody. For everybody in all of the is the way we wrapped up this past weekend, and Sheldon Creed did the most that he could with the hand that was dealt to him, won a championship in the truck series, scored a lot of wins this season, and has a really bright future. So it's going to be really interesting to see where he goes from there, but proving that it's not just off-road trucks where he can win titles, he can do it on the pavement as well.
Well, and I am not arguing with that. I'm actually going to chime in on Sheldon Creed here in a minute, you know. So I'll just cue that up. Sheldon is on my list, so I'll save my comments for when I talk on Sheldon. But rightfully so, I think the kid definitely deserves to be on your list, Chris. I'm going to go to number three, and I am going to go with, one of the most dynamic personalities in the history of motorsport. I am going to go with none other than Helio Castroneves at number three. Now, Helio, obviously, he's been a Team Penske racer for life. You know, he's won championships, Indy 500s with, you know, Team Penske. Went to the IMSA series, did sports cars, been moonlighting in IndyCar series. The IMSA program shut down for Team Penske. Helio was given his go papers, go find more work. Helio has always said he's got a lot of gas left in the tank in regards to IndyCar. He thinks he can win a lot more races and win another Indy 500. I don't think anybody's going to argue with Helio. It was going to be, where is Helio going to find a home now? Well, it didn't take very long, but Meyer Shank made the call to Helio Castroneves. He will be running a partial program next year for Meyer Shank, helping develop some of their other drivers, with also obviously running at the Indianapolis 500. What a place for Helio to land. He's going to be able to groom younger talent, take his experience to a young team and help them expand. I think it's a great fit for Helio Castroneves. I guess the only thing I would have wanted more is to see him full-time back in the IndyCar series, but I think at this point, a partial schedule, Helio's got to be very excited about that. This is huge for not only motorsports but IndyCar to have him back in a bigger role than he has been in past seasons. He's got a massive fan base. He's one of the best talents of the last two decades to sit behind the wheel of an IndyCar. He's got a dynamic personality. Chris, this is a win-win for everybody in and around IndyCar.
And don't forget a win for Honda and Acura as well, because Meyer Shank Racing, you know, has had such a deep tie to the Acura brand over the past few years in sports car racing. And that's where Castroneves was coming from in the DPI ranks in IMSA, you know, leaving that after Team Penske moved away from the Acura program. So, you know, there's a brand that has been really leaning on you know, leaning on LEO over the past few years with sports car racing. And, you know, it's such a win-win for everybody. Like you said, it's going to be really exciting to see what he's able to do in that car. You know, and again, you know, when you do have a limited program and you're able to focus on those races, sometimes you get better results out of those races. So it'll be interesting to see if he's running up front in all six of those events. I know he's wanted to do more IndyCar, you know, over the past couple of years than he was able to do. So it will be really exciting to see how MSR does with a two-car program, and certainly exciting to see how Jack Harvey benefits from that veteran expertise.
Yeah, well, and you know, and I want listeners to understand too, both Chris and I will probably completely agree on this. A lot of drivers in this position go back to a motorsport and it's kind of their swan song. It's like, I'm going to do another season. I'm going to ride off into the sunset. This is my farewell tour. I don't expect much, but I'll wave at the fans and, you know, I'll sign autographs and I'll joke with my buddies one last time and then call it a career. This is not that move. Helio damn well expects to jump behind the wheel of this freaking car and win races, Chris.
No, exactly. And it'll be really interesting to see if he's able to just snag one more victory, whether it's a fourth Indy 500 or just anywhere else. You know, if he's never able to get another full-time ride, I think he's going to go down as the best IndyCar driver of all time not to win a championship. Not that that's the honor that any driver prefers to end their career with, but I don't know. If you told me that I could choose between three Indy 500s and no title and three IndyCar titles and no 500, I might go for the 500s. I'm not going to lie to you. I think a lot of drivers would.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Chris, well, let's jump into our top two here on the week. I know we've got through our top three. Now we got to drop down to our top two. Who do you have at number two on your list?
Well, you know, this one has actually been kind of tough for me, Jim. And, you know, we said we were going to do power rankings, and I was kind of waffling back and forth between, which one do I want to put number one? Which one do I want to put number two? And finally, I hate that I had to do this. But I ended up settling finally on Austin Cindric as my number two, taking that Xfinity Series championship. And I mean, obviously both of us, you know, through the Rallycross days have met Austin, have gotten to know Austin, and what a great kid, you know, he's a fantastic driver, you know, very talented behind the wheel. But to me, the first time I met Austin Cindric, prepping for GRC Lights in 2014, and I met him. And obviously, you know, the pedigree on somebody like that when they're coming from, you know, the background that he has, where his dad, Tim Cindric, you know, president over at Team Penske. So you know that there's somebody who has been in a culture of winning and a culture of success his whole life. But the first time I met Austin Cindric, I've met a lot of young drivers over my lifetime, and he is one of the only ones who I've been able to say right after meeting him, this kid gets it. This kid's going to go far. And he was a great rallycross driver, nearly won a championship in lights, ended up coming back a couple of years later, did a supercar race, but, you know, has really made a name for himself in NASCAR. And first people looked at him as, oh, he's the road course expert, but he's not much of an oval guy, and, really changed the narrative on that for himself this year. And then the finish to that Xfinity race, they called it perfectly in terms of saving that last set of tires to the very end. Justin Allgaier was in front, and Austin Cindric had to go out and take it, and that's exactly what he did. He used the little bit of muscle to make the winning pass, but all is fair in the last couple of laps of a championship deciding race when it's between you and the guy who would win the title if you don't. So did a fantastic job, you know, took that title, and just really cool to see that. And he's going to go places. He's going to go really far. It's going to be awesome to see him at a cup level in a couple of years. But yeah, Austin Cindric is going to be my number two.
No complaints with Austin Cindric at number two. Obviously, you know, there's few you see that you just know are going to be great, and Austin is definitely one of them. I think, you know, I guess somebody in a similar boat that came to mind a few years ago was Colton Herta, and we know what Colton's done now. But you know, talking about greatness, I got to go to somebody you've already had on your list. I've got him at number two. I got to go to one of my off-road brethren, Sheldon Creed, doing it to it in the truck series. You know, had a couple of victories this year. You know, this kid, he's the modern-day Robbie Gordon. He drives it all. He does it all. Robbie kind of took him under his wing a few years back, kind of helped groom him. I've seen Robbie in the pit box at some of Sheldon's races, you know, and help coaching him. You know, this kid, you mentioned Stadium Super Trucks. I mean, he's, you know, he's won races in Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series. You know, he's driven all kinds of UTVs, done stuff from Robbie. Obviously now he's kind of gone past what Robbie could do and now running in the NASCAR Truck Series. I know, obviously, I think we're going to see him in a couple of years continue to work his way up the ladder. But this kid, I mean, he's the modern day Robbie Gordon or Parnelli Jones or Mario Andretti. I mean, he can drive it all. Give him a wheel and he can drive. I love wheelmen. I love Sheldon Creed. This kid can drive anything. And what makes it even more special is this kid can wrench. He can fabricate. His short course trucks, he was always wrenching on him. He was fabricating. He was welding. I saw him at the ARCA race under his ARCA car, physically making adjustments himself. Not many drivers do that. Sheldon literally took his uniform off, gets on a creeper, goes under the car, and is making adjustments. He doesn't have a mechanic doing it. When Sheldon wants an adjustment made, Sheldon makes the adjustment for Sheldon. And there's not many guys in motorsports today, especially at the NASCAR Big 3 Series level, that can do that or will do that. And anytime you've got a guy that will do that, like Sheldon Creed, that shows you his grit. And I got to tell you, somebody like that, they're going to go far. And I got Sheldon Creed at number two.
Oh, no doubt. And like I said, Jim, there was no way that Sheldon Creed was going to be off of my list. I just had him at, you know, number three, like I said. But yeah, big week of championships and certainly a talented kid. And it'll be fun to watch Sheldon move up the ladder as well. But, you know, I'd be interested to see if we maybe have the same number one on our lists, as, you know, has happened fairly frequently this year, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any way we don't. If we didn't, one of us would be crazy at this point. But we got a roll, I think, Chris. I can speak for ourselves with Chase Elliott at number one. I mean, the feel-good story of the year, if there was one, and I got to give a guy credit. Pushed it back up against the wall. They failed inspection. It starts in the back or whatever happened. I mean, it was a hell of a race for him. Come out on top, win the championship. Chris, you can take it from here. But Chase Elliott, man, I think he deserves the top spot for the week.
Oh, no doubt. You know, certainly it's a championship that I think everybody was rooting for within NASCAR for quite a while, because it's, you know, to have a second-generation driver win a championship, especially in a year like this one, just not just in motorsport, but in the world as a whole, it's comfort food, right? You know, it's comfort food to have a champion whose name is so legendary in the sport of NASCAR. You know, Bill Elliott obviously was one of the defining drivers of the 1980s, right alongside Dale Earnhardt, set the speed record, won the Winston Million, won a championship, you know, and now Chase Elliott adds his name to that list of NASCAR champions and does it when, as you said, Jimmy Johnson bows out and moves on to his next adventure over in IndyCar. So, you know, the throne is open and Chase has that first championship. And now, you know, we all said, I think a few years ago when he was still trying to knock down the door of that first race victory, it was like, all right, if he can finally get that, the floodgates are going to open. And he was so hard on himself, could never get that win, finally did. And then, yeah, the floodgates started opening. And yes, it wasn't as outright dominant of a season for Chase Elliott as Kevin Harvick had. And, you know, there are people who, you know, certainly take umbrage with the current NASCAR championship format, you know, because of that, because Harvick would have locked it up quite a while ago. And, you know, but that's something we've been dealing with for quite a while. One of Jimmy Johnson's championships, if you're going by that metric, I think Jeff Gordon would actually have about six, and he would have taken one away from Jimmy. And I think it was 07 or 08. They were both similarly dominant. But You know, what do I always say? The playing field's the same for everybody. Chase Elliott was the guy who adapted the best to the playing field. And you can't make the argument that he wouldn't have if it had been a different playing field, because you know that that team over at Hendrick, they would have done some different things to make sure that he had that kind of season. But persevering through all the chaos of this year, all the madness, and getting the job done, you know, certainly a well-deserved championship and certainly a very popular championship, one that, you know, the floodgates may very well open. I don't know that this is going to be the last championship that we see Chase Elliott take home.
No, and, you know, I want to chime in real quick before we sign off, but I'm looking at this, you know, you mentioned Bill Elliott, you know, taking a championship, Chase Elliott, you know, you look at NASCAR. So there's been a lot of father sons that have raced NASCAR. There hasn't been a lot of father sons that have both taken championships. Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr. won a lot of races. Jr. never won a championship. Look at Richard Petty. Obviously, Lee Petty, Richard won championships. Lee won championships. Kyle Petty never won championships. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of very, very good second or third generation NASCAR drivers over the course of history that never won a championship like their fathers did. And I got to tell you that, you know, you start putting that into perspective. I mean, man, he's in elite company right now, Chris. I mean, I don't know the tally offhand, but I know you can count it on a couple of fingers how many father sons have won NASCAR championships.
Yeah, no doubt. It's not a long list. You know, the Petty's obviously on that list. Now the Elliott's on that list. You know, but yeah, and any form of motorsport, really. I mean, you know, think about the Andretti's in IndyCar, obviously Mario and Michael. And, you know, it's never going to be a long list regardless of what sport you're talking about. I mean, if you're forward thinking in F1, then you're hoping that Mick Schumacher is going to join his father, Michael, at some point, you know, most likely. But it's, I don't know, man, it really is rarefied air. Regardless of what sport you're talking about, what form of motorsport, it's going to be really exciting to see Chase continue on. I'm looking forward to the years ahead, but a lot of talented drivers out there that still only have one title, guys like Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, the fourth guy in that championship four mix, still looking for one. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, definitely going to be interesting the next couple of seasons in NASCAR. But Chris, been fun today. I know it was a little bit of a lengthy power rankings, but yeah, thanks for chiming in. And I don't know, we'll have to see. I think we keep these rolling through the Baja 500. Next week will be probably a little bit of a dead week, next week or two, but maybe we'll skip them. But or the Baja 1000, excuse me. But we definitely got to do at least one more round of power rankings for Baja, and then I don't know, maybe we'll call it a year as far as power rankings go. But definitely we'll have like a new segment to supplement or something like that, I think.
Yeah, for sure. No, it has been a fun year, and we've made the most of it. And, you know, just, I don't know. Hopefully we can have a little more standard out of 2021. What do you say?
Yeah, let's hope, man. Let's hope. But, all right, we'll be back after this on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Radio.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2,
General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
All right, and welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Signing off for this week. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Big thanks to the Martelli brothers and Killian, Chris Leone, all of you for listening in. Check us out once again, SiriusXM Channel 211. Social media, I'm at JimBeaver15. Subscribe over there on Apple Podcasts. And a big shout out to Polaris Razor, General Tire, Vision Wheel, Dirtfish, our good friends at Rigid Industries, Gibson Exhaust. We've got so many amazing partners, iRacing, GSP XTV Axles, Fistful of Bourbon, and everybody who continues to support the show, our good friends at Optimus Starters, Acronis, and yeah, I think that's about it. Sorry, I had to look at my cheat sheet, man. I'm drawing blanks here, but yeah, thank you guys once again for tuning in. Head out into the desert. I know it was a little bit different show, long form interview style, but hopefully you guys enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.